Chapter 45, The Letters Paul Wrote from Rome. Paul acknowledged that many visions and revelations had been given him of the Lord. His understanding of the gospel was equal to that of the very chiefest apostles. He had a clear comprehension of the breadth, and length, and depth, and height of the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Paul could not tell all that he had seen in vision. Some hearers would have misapplied his words. But that which was revealed to him molded the messages that he in later years sent to the churches. He bore a message that ever since has brought strength to the Church of God. To believers today, this message speaks plainly of dangers that will threaten the Church. The Apostle's desire for those to whom he addressed his letters was that they should be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but that they should come into the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ, who loved the Church, and gave Himself for it, would present it to Himself, not having spot, or wrinkle, or any such thing, a Church holy and without blemish. In these messages, written with a power not of man but of God, principles are laid down that should be followed in every church, and the way that leads to life eternal is made plain. In his letter to the saints at Colossae, written while he was a prisoner in Rome, Paul mentions his joy over their steadfastness. "From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." There is no limit to the blessings that the children of God may receive. They may go on from strength to strength until they are made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. KJV. Christ, the Creator. The Apostle exalted Christ as the one by whom God created all things. The hand that sustains the world in space is the hand that was nailed to the cross, for in Him were all things created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. The Son of God came to this earth to be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He was in all things made like unto His brethren. He became flesh, even as we are. He knew what it meant to be hungry, thirsty, and weary. He was sustained by food and refreshed by sleep. He was tempted and tried as men and women of today are tempted and tried, yet lived a life free from sin. Surrounded by the influences of heathenism, the Colossian believers were in danger of being drawn away from the simplicity of the gospel. Paul pointed them to Christ as the only safe guide. "I say this in order that no one may delude you with beguiling speech. As therefore you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so live in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught. See to it that no one makes a prey of you by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ." Christ had foretold that deceivers would arise, through whose influence iniquity should abound, and the love of many should wax cold. The Church would be in more danger from this evil than from the persecution of her enemies. By receiving false teachers, they would open the door to errors by which the enemy would shake the confidence of those newly come to the faith. All that was not in harmony with Christ's teachings they were to reject. As men tried in the days of the apostles by philosophy to destroy faith in the Scriptures, so today, by higher criticism, evolution, spiritualism, theosophy, and pantheism, the enemy of righteousness is seeking to lead souls into forbidden paths. To many the Bible is as a lamp without oil, because they have turned their minds into channels of speculative belief that bring confusion. The work of higher criticism, in dissecting, conjecturing, and reconstructing, is destroying faith, robbing God's word of power to control and inspire human lives. Spiritualism teaches that desire is the highest law, that license is liberty, and that man is accountable only to himself. The follower of Christ will meet with spiritualistic interpretations of the scriptures, but he is not to accept them. He is to discard all ideas that are not in harmony with Christ's teaching. He is to regard the Bible as the voice of God speaking directly to him. The knowledge of God as revealed in Christ is the knowledge that all who are saved must have. This knowledge works transformation of character. This is the knowledge beside which all else is vanity and nothingness. In every generation and in every land, the true foundation for character building has been the same, the principles contained in the Word of God. With the Word the apostles met the false theories of their day, saying, "Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid." In his letter, Paul entreated the Colossian believers not to forget that they must put forth constant effort. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God." How to break the chains of habit. Through the power of Christ, men and women have broken the chains of sinful habit. They have renounced selfishness. The profane have become reverent, the drunken sober, the profligate pure. This change is the miracle of miracles, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When the Spirit of God controls mind and heart, the converted soul breaks forth into a new song. The promise of God has been fulfilled, and the sinner's transgression has been forgiven. He has exercised repentance toward God for the violation of the divine law and faith toward Christ, who died for man's justification. But the Christian is not to fold his hands, content with that which has been accomplished for him. He will find that all the powers and passions of unregenerate nature are arrayed against him. Each day he must renew his consecration. Old habits, hereditary tendencies to wrong, will strive for the mastery, and against these he is to strive in Christ's strength. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness and patience, forbearing one another and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. The power of a higher, purer life is our great need. The world has too much of our thought, and the kingdom of heaven too little. To reach God's ideal, the Christian is to despair of nothing. Moral and spiritual perfection through the grace of Christ is promised to all. Jesus is the source of power. He brings us to His Word. He puts into our mouth a prayer through which we are brought into close contact with Himself. In our behalf He sets in operation the all-powerful agencies of heaven. At every step we touch His living power. To the Philippians, how perfection is reached. The church at Philippi had sent gifts to Paul by Epaphroditus, whom Paul calls my brother and fellow worker. While in Rome, Epaphroditus was sick, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. The believers at Philippi were filled with anxiety regarding Epaphroditus, and he decided to return to them. "He has been longing for you all," Paul wrote, "and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete your service to me." Paul sent the Philippian believers a letter by him. Of all the churches, Philippi had been the most liberal in supplying Paul's wants. "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit which increases to your credit. I have received full payment, and more, I am filled, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, thankful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more, with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Paul's imprisonment had resulted in the furtherance of the gospel. What has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to all the rest. There is a lesson for us in this experience. The Lord can bring victory out of what may seem to us defeat. When misfortune or calamity comes, we are ready to charge God with neglect or cruelty. If He sees fit to cut off our usefulness in some line, we mourn, not stopping to think that He may be working for our good. Chastisement is a part of His great plan. Under the rod of affliction, the Christian may sometimes do more for the Master than when engaged in active service. Paul pointed the Philippians to Christ, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, my beloved, Paul continued, God is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Paul holds up the standard of perfection and shows how it may be reached. Work out your own salvation, for God is at work in you. The work of gaining salvation is a joint operation between God and the repentant sinner. Man is to make earnest efforts to overcome, but he is wholly dependent on God for success. Without the aid of divine power, human effort avails nothing. God works and man works. Resistance of temptation must come from man, who must draw his power from God. God wishes us to have self-mastery, but He cannot help us without our consent and cooperation. The divine Spirit works through the faculties given to man. Of ourselves, we are not able to bring the desires and inclinations into harmony with the will of God, but if we are willing to be made willing, the Savior will accomplish this for us, casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He who would be a well-balanced Christian must give all and do all for Christ. Daily he must learn the meaning of self-surrender. He must study the Word of God, obeying its precepts. Day by day God works with him, perfecting the character that is to stand in the final test. And day by day the believer works out before men and angels a sublime experiment, showing what the gospel can do for fallen human beings. The true motive that leads to perfection. I do not consider that I have made it my own, Paul wrote, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In all the busy activities of his life, Paul never lost sight of one great purpose: to press toward the prize of his high calling. To exalt the cross, this was his all-absorbing motive that inspired his words and acts. Though he was a prisoner, Paul was not discouraged. A note of triumph rings through the letters that he wrote from Rome. Rejoice, he wrote, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. My God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus.